The Big Breakfast, a Brizzy favourite. Bream, Australia's favourite. But hey, it's not a competition. Bream, steady, hot and strong.
Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the podcast. It is Tuesday the 22nd of June. Marto and Margo, before we get underway, I want to let you know you can get in touch with the show anytime, Triple M Brisbane on social media, 133353, when the show is live between 5:30 and 9 weekdays, and text the burner phone at any time, 0484 10 1045. Coming up, the King, Wally Lewis himself, ahead of Origin Game 2. We also wanted to know when your dad has lost his lid. Mad Dads on The Big Breakfast. There's so much more coming up. Enjoy.
Hey, Margo, I remember yesterday we were talking about, I think it was early in the show, machines that heal themselves.
Oh, some of our best work yesterday, Marto.
It was. And indeed, there were machines that healed themselves, but there was one occasion where the bloke said, now, listen, when he was a kid, I was trying to do some mowing. I did some mowing for this bloke, and then the mower wouldn't start, and he said, give me a look at that. And here's the story.
His lawnmower wouldn't start, and he worked for the fisheries and wildlife, and it wouldn't start, and you could hear him. So I was looking up over the fence, over the old Fibro fence, watching him, and then next minute he runs inside and yelling and screaming, brings out his .22, puts a hole in it.
What? He shot it. That's not going to help.
He said, now you're going to start, you bastard. So he pulled it, and it away it went, and it died about 6 years later.
What about that one?
Now, imagine if a 13-year-old just peering over the fence and your neighbour's going mad and shooting, shoots his lawnmower. Shooting a
it's an incredible story, but that man was the son, was the father of somebody. Can you imagine him? And I've seen people like this, like, our producer Jack said, oh, my dad was mad. Like, when he used to get mad, he'd get mad. Went and got his printer wouldn't work one day. He went to the trouble of getting a ladder. He climbed with the printer onto the roof and threw it from there onto concrete because throwing it from waist height or head height wasn't enough.
He wanted to get
more gravity. Oh, he wasn't fixing it. He just wanted to teach that printer.
Dad.
Dad. Teach that printer a lesson. And this is what happens. Dads go crazy sometimes under the frustration and the pressure of being a father.
I have heard some stories. One of Wiley's mate's dad was annoyed that he was up playing PlayStation late one night in his room, like sneaking it, thinking no one's awake, they won't know. And his dad come in, ripped the PlayStation out of the wall, threw it on the driveway, got in the car, reversed over it, drove back over it, went inside and went back to bed.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That'll teach you.
And they're the lessons that kid will never forget. I bet you Ben from North Lakes has got one. Have you got one where a dad flipped his lid?
Yeah, well, it was granddad. We came back for lunch. We were up the back paddock. He was a shearer, and he's grabbed a ewe and thrown it on the roof of the shearing shed.
Why?
Just because it was giving him a hard time, and he wouldn't do it as he was told, so he grabbed it by the back of the neck and by the fleece and hoiked it up onto the roof.
So he didn't find it funny.
We had to get the truck and drag it up alongside of the shed and then drag it into the truck.
Ben, how many years ago was this?
Oh, probably about 30 years or so ago now.
I love that he still finds it funny, Ben.
Everyone used to throw sheep back in the old days. Like, I toss it. But I bet you no one crossed granddad. God, geez, you hear about the time he threw the sheep on the roof.
Text us on the burner phone, 0484 10 1045. Greg from Jimboomba, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are we?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. Have you got a mad dad or are you the mad dad?
No, I've got a mad dad. Mm. 30 years ago, he smashed up a piano that was a couple of hundred years old that he'd spent tens of thousands of dollars restoring.
Oh, Jesus.
Bad day.
Greg,
the worst consequence, though, of your behaviour, having to fix it and it costing you lots of money?
What happened, Greg?
He spent thousands on it trying to restore it and could not find or locate the reason why every time he got the tuner out, after a couple of days, it'd lose tune on one string.
Yes.
Yep. Turns out there would have been a crack in the piano frame somewhere, and they x-rayed it a couple of times, couldn't find it. So he got jack of it, took it outside, took to it with a sledgehammer and smashed it into pieces.
A sledgy. Did he then burn it? They used to burn a lot of stuff too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it got burnt after that on the fire pile for sure. Yeah.
Oh, God, Jeez. Would have been worth tens of thousands. Too good, Greg.
Danny from Boondall, 133353. Dad, mad dad, have you got one or are you one?
Yeah, and our beautiful late father in the 70s had six sons of long hair, 2 years apart, and he chased us up the
street with the scissors. No son of mine will have long hair and look like a girl.
Did he catch Did he catch any of you, Danny?
No, he didn't. We were too quick.
What a madman. Can you imagine if the internet existed? That would have gone viral completely. There would be millions of hits. Look at this mad bastard. Listen to this. Brett from Park Ridge. In the early 1990s, Dad got a first-generation Mitsubishi Magna as a work car. Fair enough. He took it as a massive insult, however, that his work would deny him his right to a Holden Commodore. Oh, so he drove the Magna around with no oil, dumped the clutch every time he took off from the lights, did everything he could to kill it. And after 6 months, he admitted defeat and he bought Mum a Magna as well because they were, in his opinion, unkillable. What mad dads do?
Renee from Springfield Lakes, 133353. Do you have a mad dad?
I do have a mad dad. Do you want the mad dad that rides his motorbikes into pubs?
Through the doors.
Through the doors.
Yep. I do want that man, yes.
Oh, we want both. What does he do that is cranky?
He was gifted a Walkman when he was in hospital. And when he came out, my brother used it. I've got four older brothers.
Yeah.
Dad asked for it back so he could paint the fence and listen to some tunes.
Wonderful.
He lost his lollies.
Why?
It didn't work.
One of the brothers hasn't broken it.
He pegged it onto the concrete. Smashed it to smithereens.
That'll fix it.
Did he use his foot? Or can I just ask, did he use his foot or a hammer?
No, he just pegged it. Mad
dad. Patrick from Bellmere, 133353.
Oh, God.
Are you a mad dad?
Yes, I'm the mad dad.
What happened?
Well, we bought the boys a brand new PlayStation for Christmas.
Good on you.
And I just got sick and tired of the two fighting over a game because one kept losing.
Right, what happened?
So I just walked up, grabbed it, stomped on it a few times.
In the lounge room?
Yep, in the lounge room. Yeah. And they went outside screaming to Mum.
Yes.
Dad's lost it.
Yes.
You need to come in. So I felt that bad. The next day went out, bought him a brand new one again.
You're a sucker, Patrick. I think I've found some familiarities in my own life in some of those stories. I feel like maybe we might need to do a mum's edition of this because I've lost my bananas.
I've heard you throwing things, toys.
I've thrown a book out the window, Mardo. I may have hoiked a scooter across the front yard because they've left it at the door.
All right. It's not just dads. Tomorrow we'll do mums.
We can't discriminate. We need equality here at the big breakfast.
I read one by somebody who rang in. They frisbeed a laptop out the window.
133353. I reckon tomorrow we need to do a mums edition. Okay. Mum's gone wild.
Patrick, going to give you a double pass to go see the Lions this Thursday night. Take on Geelong.
Yeah.
Brisbane Lions ready to be uncaged. Have you got your seat tickets at lions.com.au? Mad Dad.
The Origin teams came out yesterday and Queensland, of course, picked Rhys Walsh, who the Broncos flicked to the Warriors. And after seven games of NRL, he's been picked at the age of 18 to play Origin. And everyone's going, oh, too young. You see Gus Gould last night going too young. But let's not forget, Ben Aiken, how did he go at Origin level? Played 17 Origin games. He was picked when he was 17 and ended up, he'd only played four games of NRL. Willie Carn had only played six games of NRL before they picked him for Origin. He went all right, played 12 games of Origin, so nothing wrong with that. So Rhys Walsh, and it's the reason I see here in the back page of our paper, Courier Mail, fit for a king. The Emperor of Lang Park gives teen sensation his royal blessing ahead of his Suncorp debut. What a headline. Wally Lewis, good morning.
Good morning.
What a headline. So, mate, you've given it to Gus Gould, who said, oh, he's too young. Why?
Oh, mate, fair dinkum. I don't know why he thinks that that Rhys is too young. Certainly, it's the toughest State of Origin game that he will have played in his life. He's going to wonder, well, am I old enough to be here? But there's been plenty of blokes. You know, Ben Aiken performed very well. Brad Fittler came in and played, you know, for New South Wales when he was, I think, 18 as well. He might have been just touching 19. he's certainly one of those players, Walsh, that has stood out. He's got advance about him. Everywhere he looks, he seems to search for open spaces, and he's got plenty of ability, and certainly he's got the confidence of the teammates playing around him, and I think that's one of the best things that you can have.
Wally, we know that Origin is a massive stage, and experience really does help. He has a lack of experience. I mean, he's got the ability, he's got all, you know, he's going to be a sensational superstar long term for NRL, but does he have enough experience? Will the big stage of Origin frighten him, perhaps?
He's probably the only one that can answer that, Margo, but I've got to say that certainly his performances so far have indicated that he's quite willing to roam virtually everywhere in the field. He does it remarkably, and I think if you've got somebody like that in your team, it inspires the rest of them every time that they have a look around and see exactly what they've got on board. And it is going to be the hardest game for him, I guess also that it really does rely upon his teammates to make sure that every training session that they take part in, they make sure that he feels very comfortable, and he gets to execute the skills that have earned him selection in this team every time he gets the football, because he seems to be one of those guys that he doesn't have a set plan. It's just whatever comes into his mind at the time.
Eyes up footy. Now, King, you've seen everything since 1980. Now, we were hammered in game one. How do we turn that around? I know we've made changes to the team, but can you just reassure everyone, because I'm of the belief that we're going to get Dunsky again. How do we turn it around?
Well, I basically nice to know that we've got your confidence there, but that's good. I'm sure the players are feeling very good about
They're
that.
They're not listening.
But look, it's not good. It was one of those games that I think walking in to have a look at the guys after the game, they knew that they were struggling for confidence. They needed to get a fair conversation and a fair couple of meetings between themselves to assure or that they don't get hammered in game two. They're coming back to the home of footy. I guess that's going to be one thing, but certainly Paul Green will work with each and every one of the players on the way to make sure that they've got confidence.
They were really accountable, though. Like, even Munster was like, I wasn't in good form. I had a bad game. We need to be better. And
we
didn't
scare anyone. At Origin, you have to have somebody going belting, and I don't mean around the head, just hurting them, and then they go again, and that'll lift everybody. We had none of that.
Well, everybody lives for Origin, naturally, Wally, and the Blues played a really fast game. We hear lots of talk around momentum. How do we quite literally change that momentum from them to us and slow the game down?
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought that up,
Margo.
How do we do that?
For the guys. You've got to dictate terms to the opposition, and in saying that, there's got to be a couple of guys that really do make sure that they lead the way, and that's no further than Cam Munster, Daly Cherry-Evans, and now that they've got Andrew McCulloch in there, that's an amazing selection for a lot of people. But this guy's as fit as he was when he was in his early 20s. He's one of those guys that is going to do a whole pile of work, but they've got to make sure that they get a stop-start motion going in their game. It mightn't be the most interesting, entertaining game that they ever have, but every time that Queensland want to get rid of the ball on the last tackle, put it into touch. Make sure that they've got plenty of time to talk to each other about what their intentions are in the next defensive set of six, and not give New South Wales the opportunity to repeat the same game that they had in game one, because I was sitting there in Townsville and it was a wonderful performance from the Blues, one that gave everybody else up there the you-know-whats to watch it. It wasn't fun at all, but unless they dictate terms and make sure that they play the game the way that they want to, it could be another tough night at the office.
Well, it's always too good speaking to you, mate. You've offered me fresh hope. Might get on board. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, go the Maroons. Let's hope we can.
Queenslander!
The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
I know we normally, on a Friday, we used to do a thing called Frugal Fridays, we talk about dobbing in tight asses in our life. So I'm bringing you back to Tight Ass Tuesday, Marto, because I have a tale of tight arsery. I'm going to that's not a word. Tight arsness.
Oh, I don't know, one of those.
Cheap. I'm not allowed to call him a tight ass anymore. I'm referring to, of course, my husband, Corey. And
Wow.
Yes, we know. We all know his consciousness for money. And he has to be. He has to be the saver and the one who's conscious and across the money and the finances in our house. Because I am not.
Now, somebody asked me the other day, and you know I really like you, etc. Mm-hmm. But they said, what's she like? And I said, gee, she'd be an expensive unit to operate. Now, that would that prescribe you? Is
low
that okay?
Maintenance, but expensive.
Yeah, right.
We work hard. I work hard. We compromise and sacrifice for many years while he played football.
You've got four kids. There's a lot of expenses.
We've got four kids to run. We've got a house, you know, school fees, et cetera.
Jet ski saving fund,
which is clearly not going very well.
Where are you going with
this? I think he's resorted to an all-time low, Marto. I rang him the other day.
Has he started selling his jerseys on eBay?
No, he's been doing that for many years. all the ones that he didn't wear, you know, like just ones they were given and whatnot, he sold. Even worse. Oh. He's resorted to bin diving because, last week I called him and said, hey, man, what are you up to? What's on for today? And he said, I'm actually just pulled up at the back of Bunnings at Logan. I'm just going through the skip bin.
What? What's in there?
I said, are you serious? What are you doing, you idiot? He said, well, I pulled up to come and get some stuff from Bunnings and Super Cheap. And I've just seen out the back, they've got a skip bin full of marine carpet.
Oh, he'll be filthy you're telling people this exists. The grey stuff.
The grey stuff.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Because he wanted to use it to put in Wiley's little tinny that he got. He picked up secondhand off Facebook Marketplace and they've been doing it up. It's a bit of a project. It's a father-son thing. You know, dad's into doing up old things and now Wiley has it inherited.
It's the perfect stuff. Otherwise, you slide around on the bottom of those tinnies. Yeah. So he's put that marine carpet. And you're telling me
yesterday it got installed. And I was like, is that the carpet that you got out of the skip bin? He said, it's brand new, babe. Like, it's perfect, in good condition. I'm like, yeah, but still, you had to get it out of a skip bin. You couldn't have gone into the store and bought it.
Did
he goes, it's perfectly brand new, good stuff out the back in the bin that nobody wanted.
They do this at every carpet shop. Can I tell Brisbane right now? Every carpet shop, because they'll lay your carpet and they'll take away your old stuff and it may not be that old. And then they throw it in the bin out the back of their thing and you can go and just grab stuff.
It's ridiculous. He does the same like when we moved house. I know you're moving house at the moment. Yeah. Boxes. He'd go and steal them out from the back of Woolies or, you know, out the loading dock areas of the shopping centres. I'm like, they're a dollar each. Just buy them. And then they buy them back for 50 cents. So technically, they're only 50 cents a box. Just buy them. Don't be scabbing around the back of shopping centres.
Did he ever go through a war? Like, has he been through the Second World War and ate dripping every meal?
I feel like we need to bring back Tight Ass Tuesday.
Isn't it sad? So people saw him and went, gee, look at Corey Parker. He's down on his luck.
Is that a homeless man?
Tight Ass. The Big Breakfast. Triple M.
Gee, the recriminations continue at the Broncos. I see on NRL 360 last night, they were talking about a rumour about, well, I'll let Buzz Rothfield, the bloke that reckons he broke the rumour.
Really nasty people spreading some rumours about him that he was going to keep an extra spot open on his 30-man roster for his son, Billy, who was trying to get out of the West Tigers. He rubbish that. He had a joke and said, no, I kept it open for Cameron Smith.
What is going on with Kev Walters? Only this man might know.
The Big Breakfast's Rugby League Insider. Dobbo, get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
May as well start there. Dobbo, how are you?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, the bottom line is that this was 100% kept open for Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith had indicated in November last year as he was driving down the M1 back from the Sunshine Coast that if he was going to come and play, he would play at the Brisbane Broncos. This was a smart move by Brisbane at the time. They kept the spot open for Cameron Smith, and Reece Walsh was actually in the development phase of his contract. So from round 11, he could come on and he could play in the NRL. Kevin Walters implored him. He said, mate, if you wait till round 11, you will play for the Brisbane Broncos. Obviously, Reece Walsh was too hungry. He wanted to get his hands on the ball. There was no interest Super Cup last year, so he wasn't able to play. And they got a little bit, I suppose, lopsided because previous management at the Broncos had promised Reece Walsh that he would be in the 30-man squad at the beginning of the season.
Uh-huh.
Now, they couldn't do that. That was not Kevin Walters' doing. They kept the spot open for Cameron Smith. Billy Walters was coming, and he had nothing to do with that vacant position. They've still got that vacant position open, if you must know, at the moment.
So they've only got 29, righto?
29, yes, at this present moment. So that is all that. And there's been that rumour doing the rounds and rounds and rounds.
Okay.
I think the right
but Billy
thing
was set, Billy was set to come in February. There was lots of talk. Yeah. Channel 9 did a report.
Yeah.
Billy Walters was coming in February. Cam Smith announced his retirement in March, and they released Reece Walsh in April.
Yeah, they've also
and the Tigers wanted to do a deal.
No, the Tigers didn't want to do a deal, Margo.
They wanted Reece Walsh in exchange for Billy Walters.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Billy Walters was coming last year. Michael Maguire had injuries with these halves, and he wanted Billy Walters as backup, and because Billy Walters was coming back off a knee reconstruction. And the fact is that they didn't want to let Billy Walters go because they wanted him as insurance. He had nothing to do with that trade at all. And they've since let go Tom Dearden. They've since let go Andrew McCulloch right at the beginning of the season. If Andrew McCulloch went, Billy Walters would have come in for his spot. It had nothing to do with that one spot.
Right.
It was all around Cameron Smith.
Right. Though are those rumours. So there's obviously people out there trying to chisel in and have a go at Kevy. Let's go to the other side of it. Ben Eichen answers Broncos SOS. Is that what's happened here? Overnight, he's going to finish up on NRL a 360 on Fox Sports on Wednesday night and move straight into the position as?
Yeah, he's the head of football. He's the new Peter Nolan. Yeah, so this is how it all went down. Last Friday, Dave Donaghy and Ben Eichen were out at lunch. On Saturday, they met again. On Sunday, they came to terms. Ben Eichen spoke to the bosses at News Limited yesterday. Dave Donaghy spoke to the bosses of News Limited. And last night, it was announced around 4:30. He is the head of football. He's in charge of the football department for the Brisbane Broncos, a former Broncos. And he is now entrusted with overseeing the salary cap, recruitment and retention. Obviously, the coaching staff, the strength and conditioning, everything to do with rugby league, Ben Eichen is in charge of at the Brisbane Broncos.
Is he Kevy's boss?
Well, 100%. But yes, in essence, yes, he's Kevin Walters' boss. He's the bloke in charge, not of the decisions that happen on the football field, but of the whole way the coaching structure looks and everything like that, yes.
Kevy still, as the coach, has the end say over who he has in his team, though.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
He's the one that sits across from the player and negotiates their deals and their contracts and says, we want you or we don't want you, not Ben Eichen.
No. Ben Eichen will be doing that along with Dave Donaghy. That's been one of Kevy's biggest bug bites, that he has had to do that and he can't coach. Because there's been no CEO, he's been having to go to recruitment and retention, go down, negotiate contracts. He's had to do all that kind of stuff. Obviously, the coach has a lot of input into it. But that was never done in the past. If you look at the Melbourne Storm setup, Frank Panisi's the football manager. He does all the negotiations. They meet when Craig Bellamy meets. He meets with Frank Panisi, and then Frank Panisi does the negotiations with the manager, comes back to the coach.
Not at the Broncos, though. Wayne Bennett always did the contract negotiations, and I know that because my husband played for them, and he didn't use a player manager, and he would always negotiate his deal with Wayne Bennett, who had the final say.
But that's not necessarily the best way to do it.
Not necessarily the best, but it's the way it's always been done at the Broncos.
Well, it's not being done that way anymore, Margo. I can tell you now.
That's pretty good.
It's not being done that way.
I agree, Dobbo. You need to remove the coach, especially if it's not
Wayne
Bennett.
Well, Kevy just said to me, Kevy said, I spoke to Kevy last night. He is so happy about Ben Eichen coming.
Bloody
he said, that's a great move. He said, I can go back. He said, Eichen's going to be a head kicker. He's a tough character. Yep. He's tough in business. He said he will get the job done. And he said, what I want to be able to do is coach and not have to worry about the externals. And that's the biggest job. That's what Kevin Walters needs to do because that's what he was employed to do.
Dobbo, our NRL insider and host of the Rush Hour Queenslander. You can get it on the Listener app at 6 p.m. right here on Triple M. Thanks, Dobbo.
Geez, there I am watching telly last night and there was an ad came on for Volvo and it went something, well, you ever listen to this? This is what made my ears prick up.
I'm here at Volvo to find out what is the ultimate safety test.
You know how they're into
the
safety?
Side and frontal crash tests. Pretty brutal. Now, this is the big one, the 100-foot drop. So is this the ultimate safety test? Well, it depends whether you...
Climate change is the ultimate safety test. That's why we're changing to all electric, starting today.
Did you hear that?
Starting today.
No, that really bad Swedish accent. Starting today, as in yesterday, they just went, that's it. We are all electric right now.
All of their vehicles being manufactured moving forward. So they've still got their ranges of petrol and diesel cars, I would assume, that they have to run out off the lot. But then moving forward, they're now bringing in electric vehicles.
Well, I don't know. That was the ad. And that's when I was surprised we were going to get Trevor Long. And then I realised he'd been on overnights with Luke Boner.
100% electric by 2030. You won't be able to buy a petrol or diesel engined Volvo within, you know, 5 or 6 years from now.
Righto. So that's what he had to say.
Well, I'm just reading here on Car Advice, Marto, because I'm trying to wrap my head around the whole concept of
I've only just told you about it.
But it's saying sales of electric cars are gaining momentum in Australia with a demand up 14% so far this year in a vehicle market that is down 18%.
Yeah, because there's no cars. That's the only reason the car market's down. But up 14% on a low base,
yes,
correct?
Yes. But we're seeing more and more car manufacturers, like the Hyundai have been doing hybrid and electric vehicles for a little while. They've got the Ioniq and the Kona. Toyota have a range of hybrids. MG do an electric car. I saw Audi a couple of weeks ago have just released an electric vehicle.
What do you drive? So it's the you way drive of the a future. Mustang. I drive a diesel V8.
I drive
Land Cruiser
V8 petrol and a V8 diesel.
That's right.
But Toyota next year, the Toyota Land Cruiser 300 series is going to be a twin turbo V6. They're getting rid of the V8 diesel. And they're then eventually going to bring in the European market hybrid Toyota Land Cruiser moving forward, which is the use of both petrol and electric. So it's a combination of both.
I don't like it at all. Can we open this up?
CSI Motto.
All right. I want to know. Where are we going? Because we've got enough experts who listen at this time of the morning about vehicles, about the car sales, about mechanics, etc. Where are we actually going? Are we going to be the last nation on earth? Because we provide all the coal. Can everyone realise that electric cars are fuelled by coal-powered stations or nuclear reactors?
They're not
That's
that
how
much
they get their electricity. They're no better at all. So why are we doing this nonsense?
The amount of Teslas, though I see driving around, Marta, I don't know what you see, but no. I reckon even just in our school car park, there'd be 10.
Does that make the world a better place? No, it doesn't.
I don't know, but they're expensive, I'll tell you that. Now we've got this electric car tax that you've got to pay. Is it that much cheaper? Because you've got to outlay the cost initially of $80,000 to $100,000 to buy a car.
Then you've got to find a charger out on the road if you've 60 cars. Can anyone tell us, where are we going with this electric car business? Are we going to hang on to our old hydrocarbon fuel-burning cars like we are now? Will Australia be the last? Does anyone know what the future looks like? Can you tell us what your future, what you think the future looks like?
Will you be buying an electric car anytime soon, Marto?
I will be the last Australian to buy an electric car. I'll tell you right now.
Kristen from Darra, good morning.
Morning. I was just thinking that we don't, like you said, don't have the infrastructure. We don't have enough charge ports in the country just yet.
Hey, does anyone know, Kristen, are you any sort of expertise? How far do they go on a charge? Is it 120? Is it 250? How far do these things go?
They did a thing on one of the car magazines that, I think
it's about 300 kilometres, I believe. Yeah,
but I thought we had them all the way up the Bruce Highway, all the way to Cairns, haven't we? Didn't somebody?
I've the only place I've ever seen a charging station is at Garden City Shopping Centre and Pacific Fair Shopping Centre. Other than that, are they at petrol stations?
I've never.
I don't
seen
know.
One.
I don't own one. I've never had to look.
133 53. If you can answer that quickly, but we'll go move on to Michael from Rathdowney. What do you know much about it? Where are we going with electric cars, Mike?
I can't see how it's going to work for us farmers. I've got two properties, got to drive between them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have everything's diesel that we run. So unless I have take a generator to one property to charge the vehicle to drive back to the other property, I don't see how it works for us.
In your mind, you'll be dead before you have to worry about it.
Oh. I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah, but the future generations, I mean, Michael might pass his farm down to children who then, you know.
They can sort it out. So
they can sort it out later. But, Marto, I don't see it happening, you know, like full electric in the next 20 years.
All right,
surely.
That's great.
I don't know. Would you change over?
No, I'm telling you, I'd be the last person ever to change over. I would stash thousands of litres of diesel to hang on to my ute. There you go. And I'm sure a lot of other people would be the same. We got plenty of answers, but nothing Plenty of conjecture, but no solid
answers. We didn't get to hear from anyone who has an electric car. I'd like to know the benefits of it, the advantages, what the costs are to run an electric vehicle, how they feel about this tax. Are there enough stations where they can plug in and charge? I mean, we can't even get the potholes out of our roads, let alone implement the infrastructure that's going to need to support the electric cars.
There's two free to use electric charging stations have been installed at Ripley, and our charge can provide 120 kilometres of travel. Well, that's no good. I don't want to sit there at a servo for an hour and get charged up.
No.
Anyway, I can't see it bloody working. I don't think we're the electric car network, really.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Here, thanks to Ream, Australia's favourite hot water.
Isn't it? What? And for a very good reason. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it forever, and they're a good price. Plus, they will use all types of power.
Mm, and they back themselves because they got those warranties that are like 10 and 12 years. So they know what they're doing.
That's so true.
And you can rely on them.
You can't find anyone to give you a 10 or 12 year warranty these
days. On anything these days.
Good on you, Ream.
It's no wonder Ream is Australia's favourite hot water.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Corey's going around the house. Stock is Margo's busy. Parking orders. Time for At Home with Parkers. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, day two into school holidays, ladies and gentlemen. Need I say any more?
But tell me again, because all the other state school kids, private school kiddies, go early.
It seems, Marto, the more money you pay, the more holidays they get. It's expensive sending a new kid to a private school because they're home more, which means you have to entertain them for longer. My kids get 3 weeks school holidays, and it's expensive because it means more wine must be drunk to have them home.
No, not that that's at the end of the day, but what about, like, you got to find things for them to do with four kids.
Yeah, well, I was just talking to a girlfriend about this yesterday, and we, of course, are going over to Moreton Island this week.
Next week,
excited. We'll take some of our listeners with us. But we've decided to stay on, and we're going to stay over there for a week and enjoy the beautiful, pristine blue waters and sandy beaches that Moreton has to offer.
Snorkeling, driving, fishing,
surfing. And that's lovely,
surfing.
And that's wonderful. But, it's a big job. It's a big task. We're taking boats and taking the trailer and eskies full of food, and it's great fun. But then when we get back, I've still got another 2 weeks where I've got to entertain them with all of the activities. And they've got a long request list, Marto, of things all that they'd
activities?
Like to do. Sky Zone, laser tag, bowling, go-karting, Top Golf, Movie World, Sea World. They want to do all the things. They're like, can we go to the movies? We never get to do anything because you're always working and Dad's always working and we're always at school. And so now's the time to do it all. And we've got 3 weeks holidays. We can fit so much in.
Can you match their list and do a little line and tell them to draw an arrow and do job lists and go, if you do that, that equals that?
Well, this is the thing.
What about that for an
incentive? They're kind of a little bit smart in the sense that they do chores and they've saved money. They're good savers, Memphis and Wiley in particular, our two elders. They get birthday money and Christmas money and they save it up. And so they're like, it's all right, we'll pay for it.
Jesus.
So I'm kind of like, then I'm like, oh, well, now I don't have a reason not to, because I'm like, it's expensive. You know, we don't have, you know, we can't just be forking out all of this money to do all of these activities. It adds up. And they're like, well, that's right. We'll pay for it.
I
don't want to drive you around everywhere all the time. It's my holiday too.
What about with other kids? Because you share the responsibility so you don't have to entertain them. So other kids come over, but then you've got to pay everything.
I've got eight kids on Saturday night, and I'm not complaining because I love it when the kids have friends over because then they don't annoy me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they go and play. They say safety in numbers. Mm. But it's a lot, school holidays. I mean, I love no uniforms, no lunch boxes. I love all of that sort of stuff. But
hold on, you're here in the mornings anyway.
No, I know that. I just have to wash them, clean them out in the afternoons, you know, like... It's just annoying.
is that the point of all this?
Yeah.
Most other people's holidays.
I just wanted to have a whinge.
Margo's
whinge. And I want all the other mothers to, you know, they'll be like, they're annoying.
Yeah, hold on.
Send them back to school already.
Yes. Mums of Brisbane, text in on 0484101045.
Just tell
if you
me that you understand.
Margo,
if you empathise with me, 0484101045.
Your day two of a 21-day holiday.
Exactly.
Triple M.
Marto, yesterday I was telling you about the fact that I am now hip, I am now cool, I am now a part of the youth in the TikTok world, and I am now officially a TikToker.
Listen.
And amongst my TikToking and viewing of videos on TikTok, I came across a little...
It's quite pathetic, the whole thing.
It is very pathetic.
Come on, tell everyone.
I came across a little life hack because TikTok presents an array of things.
Yes.
Not just dancing and thrusting and gyrating in front of the camera, but it also gives you some life hack type stuff. And I saw one yesterday that said crying when cutting onions, no more, because apparently the enzyme that's in the onion that causes your eyes to tear up is attracted to moisture, and that's why it goes straight to the eye.
But that's why you wear those onion glasses.
Yeah, but that looks stupid. Yes, and so they're saying instead of having to wear the onion glasses or put up with the tears, that you just wet a paper towel, put it under the onion when you cut it, and the enzyme will then be absorbed into the paper towel because it will be attracted to that moisture instead of the moisture of the eye.
That's brilliant.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Stop it. You tell everyone what else you told
But what
me.
I do, yes. I thought this was a better alternative to what it is that I do, which is hold out your tongue while cutting the onions, and then the enzyme is attracted to the moisture of your tongue instead of your eyes.
That's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard.
That's what I said.
Well, then I said, I'm going to ring this bloke because he's the smartest man. Dr. Karl Krasinski. Hello, mate.
Good morning, Dr. Marta, Dr. Margo.
What do you make of that
so
far?
How do you feel about the theory that the enzyme is attracted to the moisture and it hung like that,
okay, stop talking
Dr.
Like
Karl,
that.
Then you don't get tears in your eyes from cutting onions.
And when you did you find an improvement?
I felt like it worked, yeah.
Right. And did you do it more than once?
No.
And did you write down the results?
No.
Now, what's the basic lesson that the Mythbusters taught us? The difference between science and screwing around is that you write it down. Because otherwise your memory goes a bit wodgy. And so the first thing is that the reason for the problem is that onions do not have legs. And therefore, when they're attacked, they have to fight back with chemical warfare. And as you mentioned, they release a chemical, not an enzyme, which spreads out in all directions. It isn't especially attracted to water. It just goes everywhere.
Okay.
If there's water around, it'll dissolve in it, but it's not attracted especially to the water in the sense that it'll go to the water and not go anywhere else. Like, think about this. Suppose you put on some perfume. You can smell it everywhere in the room. Then suppose you put a glass of water and you walk into the same room. Mm. Does that mean that all the perfume smell is attracted to the water? No, it just goes everywhere. Mm. So I'm sorry to say this, but the best thing you can do is wear swimming goggles.
Yep.
Is that the sort of goggles you mean?
Well, there are onion goggles. They sell them in homeware shops.
You said, so what are these onion goggles of which you
speak? They're like swimming goggles,
yeah,
but they're
fancy. Like an idiot.
Yeah, you look like a complete idiot. But why?
Hang on. Do they totally cover the eye from the outside
world? Yeah, they're sealed, and they do.
I'm not sure what's worse, wearing onion goggles or thinking hung up, like, looking like an idiot while you're trying to cut onions.
So maybe not.
Well, the thing is that if you're going to cut up a lot of onions, like you're going to do some serious industrial-grade caramelizing, and you've got to work your way through about 15 onions, I find that wearing the swimming goggles helps. The trouble is that some of the vapor can get up through your mouth in your nose and then get up the nasolacrimal duct into your eyes. So also it helps if you wear a
balaclava.
Snorkel. That's
snorkel.
Unreal.
Hey, I just bought a snorkel to take to Morton. I now know what I'm going to be wearing when I'm chopping up onions.
I think it's a bit of obsessive. I'll just stay with the goggles.
Dr. Karl, have you got time? I know we're supposed to get to the traffic. You got time for, I rang you up in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. How long do you reckon you've been working in radio? I reckon it was Triple J or Double J or something in the 90s, okay?
Mate, it was a single J and they didn't have radio invented in those days. They just had a person shouting loudly from the backyard.
I'm working on a building site. We only had one mobile between about eight tradesmen. I said, I'm going to ring him, okay? And I asked you, and I can't remember the, because I once rang you as
what was the question?
The question was, why when you're doing a wee, do you sometimes shake afterwards?
Now, firstly, this is a real phenomenon.
Yes.
It doesn't happen to everybody, but it happens to a sizable percentage of the population. Now, I haven't been able to find the number because I haven't been able to find anything in the literature. So I went to speak to the urologists who deal with urine and all that sort of stuff. And they said, oh, no, mate. You've got to speak to the neurologists with the letter N who deal with nerves. So I went to the neurologist and they said, oh, no, you've got to go back to the urologist and talk to them. So definitely Number one, it's real. And number two, I do not know why.
Doesn't everyone shake so you don't get a little bit of a droplet of wee on your pants?
No, I mean a shiver. A shiver.
Oh.
Sorry,
yeah.
Spine. Not a shake the end.
It's like you don't want to walk around with a wet patch on your pants.
All right, so I never did get the answer off you.
Well, there could well have been an answer discovered between now and then. So why don't you ring in and I'll go looking for the answer between now and then.
Okay, all right. I'll speak to you soon. You Dr. are Carl. Such a genius. Thanks.
Dr. Carl's 47th book, Dr.
What?
Carl's Little 47? Book of Climate Change Science, is available now. Thank you for joining the Big Breakfast again.
Thank you so much for the honour.
Time for the guys to hit the showers. Does your hot water need replacing? Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. Ask your plumber to install a ring.